Topic 49, Elimination After Death. We will now consider the activity of the inner spiritual man who has discarded his physical and etheric bodies and now stands within the shell of the subtle body, a body composed of astral or sentient substance and of mental substance. Owing to the strongly emotional and sentient polarization of the average man, the idea has taken hold that man withdraws, after true death, first of all into his astral body, and then later into his mental vehicle. But this is not actually the case. A body constructed predominantly of astral matter is the basis of this idea. Few people are as yet so developed that the vehicle in which they find themselves after death is largely composed of mental substance. Only disciples and initiates who live mostly in their minds find themselves after death immediately upon the mental plane. Most people discover themselves upon the astral plane, clothed in a shell of astral matter and committed to a period of elimination within the illusory area of the astral plane. As I have earlier told you, the astral plane has no factual existence, but is an illusory creation of the human family. From now on, however, through the defeat of the forces of evil and the disastrous setback suffered by the Black Lodge, the astral plane will slowly become a dying creation, and in the final period of human history, in the seventh root race, it will become non-existent. Today, this is not the case. The sentient substance which constitutes the astral plane is still being gathered into forms of illusion and still forms a barrier in the path of the soul seeking liberation. It still holds prisoner the many people who die while their major reaction to life is that of desire, of wishful thinking, and of emotional sentiency. These are still the vast majority. The art of elimination falls into three categories. 1. As practiced by those people who are purely astral in quality and constitution. These we call karmic people. 2. As practiced by those balanced people who are integrated personalities and who are called kama manasic individuals. 3. As practiced by advanced people and disciples of all grades who are mainly mental in their living focus. These are called manasic subjects. The same basic rules control them all, but the emphasis differs in each case. I would have you bear in mind that where there is no physical brain and where the mind is undeveloped, that inner man finds himself practically smothered in an envelope of astral matter and is for a long time immersed in what we call the astral plane. The kama manasic person has what is called the freedom of dual life and finds himself possessed of a dual form, which enables him to contact at will the higher levels of the astral plane and the lower levels of the mental plane. I would again remind you that there is no physical brain to register these contacts. Awareness of contact is dependent upon the innate activity of the inner man and his peculiar state of apprehension and of appreciation. The monastic person is possessed of a translucent mental vehicle with a light density which is in proportion to his freedom from desire and emotion. These three types of people all use an eliminative process of similar nature, but employ a different technique within the process. For the sake of clarity, it might be stated that 1. The karmic person eliminates his astral body by means of attrition and vacates it via the astral correspondence to the solar plexus center. This attrition is brought about because all the innate desire and inherent emotion are, at this stage, related to the animal nature and the physical body, both of which are now non-existent. 2. The kama manasic individual uses two techniques. This would naturally be so because he eliminates, first of all, his astral body, and then his mental vehicle. A. He eliminates the astral body by means of his growing desire for mental life. He withdraws gradually and steadily into the mind-body, and the astral body esoterically drops away and finally disappears. This takes place usually unconsciously and may require quite a long time. Where, however, the man is above the average and on the verge of becoming a monastic person, the disappearance is brought about suddenly and dynamically, and the man stands free in his mental body. This takes place consciously and rapidly. B. He shatters the mental body by an act of the human will, and also because the soul is beginning to be slowly aware of its shadow. The inner man is therefore attracted towards the soul, though still only in a somewhat feeble manner. This process is relatively quick and is dependent upon the extent of the monastic influence. 3. The monastic man, focused now in his mental body, has also two things to accomplish. A. To dissolve and rid himself of any astral sediment which may be discoloring his translucent mental body. The so-called astral body is now practically non-existent as a factor of expression. This he does by calling in increased light from the soul. It is soul light which at this stage dissolves the astral substance, just as it will be the combined light of the soul of humanity as a whole, which will dissolve finally the astral plane, again so-called. B. To destroy the mental body through the use of certain words of power. These words are communicated to the disciple via the ashram of his master. They bring in soul power to a greatly enhanced extent, and produce consequently such an expansion of consciousness within the mental body that it is broken up and no longer constitutes a barrier to the inner man. He can now stand a free son of mind within the ashram of his master, and shall no more go out. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 4, Esoteric Healing, pages 486 through 490.